And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
It's ridiculous that they do. That was a huge colony. Well, we didn't miss it. You know, the typical rah, 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 zip, boom, bah, boo.
You don't cuss. You don't drink. So what are your vices?
I have been known to chew a bit of tobacco when I get a little tired or watching film.
Hey, I'm Coach O. I just love my Hummer. I have my Hummer. You need a Hummer? Tell them about it, JoJo.
They've won the biggest championship, and that's the championship of life.
Gas control. Everybody just do your job. You understand that?
Welcome in to the latest episode of That SEC Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brenton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. And I'm joined, as always, by my cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Vols on Twitter. What are you up to, you big Tennessee homer?
Hey, buddy, nothing. What's going on?
Oh, Shane, the Jeff Brohm news is heating up here in SEC country, sort of kind of Kentucky, if you want to call it that. What are your thoughts, Shane, hearing old Jeff Brohm may or may not? It sounds like people already reporting the damn day and hour he's going to be announced, and other people saying it's bullshit. What are your thoughts, Shane?
Well, as a Tennessee fan, I have been part of this Jeff Brohm discussion, and it was broke all over Twitter today that Jeff Brohm has taken the job at Louisville. And, of course, if you followed any of the Tennessee coaching fiasco, when the Jeff Brohm, there's a guy up here, his name's Jimmy Himes, one of the local media guys.
Slipping Jimmy, as I call him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was slipping hard on this one, dude. He came out and said, next coach Tennessee, he's accepted the offer. I think he even had the money and everything. So it was a done deal. Jeff Brohm was going to be the head coach at the University of Tennessee. And it was like 3 hours later, Jeff Brohm's like, hell no, I ain't taking that job. I'm staying right here in Purdue. You know? So everybody gave him a hard time. So this came out on Twitter. And then I saw some Jimmy Himes comments, and I'm like, well, you know, maybe he did take the job, you know. And then I'm looking up here on Larry Brown Sports said the reports about the Louisville job is completely false. So he came out and said it was completely false. So that job is still open, brother.
Well, I don't know, Shane. Until Jimmy Himes confirms, I'm just not going to believe it here. Old slipping Jimmy there. I'm gonna wait for him to break it for Jeff Brohm to go to Tennessee to be Louisville's next coach. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh man, Jimmy's so late. He's late. He's when he breaks something, it's like 2 days late. You know, he is not your. You do not need to put notifications on for him unless you want to know what happened 2 days ago.
You know the best part about that, Shane. Obviously. With all this John Curry shenanigans, scandal, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, there was the Freedom of Information Act against, Tennessee and everything. And as soon as they got the settlement, they're settled with John Curry. All of Curry's emails, phone calls, texts, all that leaked. Yes. And people were just picking apart and just highlighting everything. And you could see, you know, Dave Doran and all these coaches and Mike Leach, you know, having back and forth with John Curry. One guy that was not mentioned, and this is like 100,000 emails and texts, old Jeff Brohm was never mentioned one damn time. So I don't know where old Slippin' Jimmy got this, but like you said, he even went on ESPN and announced it, and they had to delete that about as quick as they posted it.
That Tennessee plane went all over the country, but it did not go to Purdue, brother.
Well, speaking of aging, slipping media members, Shane, a little outside of SEC country, I thought our listeners would enjoy this. But for those that do not know this name, this guy's name is Mike Francesca. He's a big-time New York radio personality. He's essentially, from what I understand, one of the pioneers of like sports talk. I think he's been doing it up in New York for like 30 years. He's the biggest name up there. And apparently his New York City callers, they're tired of him talking up Tua and Alabama, which I can understand if you're not a Southern person, you don't watch the SEC, you probably are. When I was living out in Los Angeles, people were sick and tired of SEC dominating it. It is what it is. Sorry, people. But why I wanted to include this, because one of Mike Francesca's callers, you know, called in and complained and said, hey, Mike, can you even name three damn players on Alabama's team, not name Tua? And just listen to this guy. This is well worth the listen here.
They don't play a schedule that's conducive, that's all.
You're right, Mike. But with Alabama, they're clearly the cream of the crop this year. You've been saying that the quarterback, Tua, is what separates them from past Saban Bama teams.
What's the point?
He is really special. I just want to say, other than Tua, can you name three Alabama players?
What is it, Peter? Am I under a quiz? I mean, you know what? Find something else to do. You know, my job is not for you to answer your questions or to pass your tests. You know that?
All right, Shane. So he was asked to name three. He couldn't name one. He said he wouldn't do it. Do you think he's got any clue? Anybody on Alabama besides Tua?
Not a damn clue, man. You know, there's that one guy, the guy that runs the ball. It's like, you remember when Michael A. Smith came on a while back, just, you know, weighing in on his thoughts with the Tua controversy? No clue. Past Tua, he has no idea who's on this roster.
I wonder if they even know Tua's last name. They just know him as Tua. You know what I mean?
Oh, they think that is his name. They think he's got three letters to his whole name.
All right, Shane, so that's pretty much all we got on the news front. This is going to be a Pick'em's heavy podcast. Shane is out on the road. So let's just jump into these damn picks. And, oh, man, there's some glorious games to get into. Let's get into our picks here, Shane.
Gambling. Let's do it.
What's anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
And if Florida goes in there and wins Tennessee, at Mississippi State, I think we got to give them a ton of respect if they do that. That sets up a huge game the following week at home at LSU. I would probably favor Florida to win that LSU game if they can beat this Mississippi State team.
Mike, if Florida wins this damn game, I will sing the fight song Monday. It ain't happening, brother.
I think Scotty Phillips, we've already seen him go over 200 yards against Texas Tech. I think he could do something similar against Kent State here, and I think Ole Miss will roll on this one.
Georgia is going to steamroll these guys. I've got a score of 45, and I've got Missouri at 17.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you don't do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself.
All right, Shane, so many great games, so little time. I don't even know where to start. But a couple of these damn games, like we had to do at the beginning of the season, we got to go all the way back to that. There are three games on the docket here against FCS opponents. So we don't even have a credible line to go off on these. So just wanted to get your thoughts, Shane, on just anything these teams can accomplish, maybe just one thing you'd be looking for from each of these. And, of course, we're talking Florida. They're hosting Idaho, which, believe it or not, people, I just found this out today, but Idaho's moved down to FCS. I always thought they were FBS. That's what happens when the NCAA video game cancels. I don't know where the hell these smaller programs are anymore.
That's right.
Alabama's hosting the Citadel, which is, of course, an FCS team. And South Carolina, they're hosting UT Chattanooga. So any of those games, Shane, anything you're looking for besides, of course, just, you know, players staying healthy?
Yeah, obviously, out of all those, the Alabama game, I am curious. I mean, if Tua does come out and play, or if he does, how much? Mm-hmm. Saban probably will roll him out, probably won't have him do too much out there. So that's the only thing, you know, because he really does need some rest. And I want to see the backup. I want to see what he's capable of doing with this. Hopefully he gets some first player reps, you know, and because that's what they need. If Jalen's not ready to go, they definitely need to have a quarterback ready to step in case something ever did happen to Tua. That's probably obviously the biggest one. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious about South Carolina. How do they bounce back from that game and maybe see a little bit more aggressive defense because they've kind of let last week slip by them. And, Muschamp, I know he's going to try to shut, you know, this FCS ball club down. So just how the defense bounces back. But that's pretty much out of those three teams. That's the things I'm looking for. What about you?
Well, Shane, you got to keep in mind, this is the first year ever of the new redshirt rule. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of freshmen obviously have been playing. But in the SEC, for whatever reason, you know, I think it's just a strategic thing to get basically an added bye week heading into rivalry week. You got a lot of these teams, and you know, these three teams playing FCS opponents, they all have a big rivalry next week, so they're probably going to treat these kind of like bye games. So the main thing I'll be looking for, and this goes for all these teams, is I really want to see how they utilize just emptying their bench, getting freshmen in there. Every one of these teams should be going to a bowl game. You know, all South Carolina has to do is win this game against UTC, and they're in a bowl game. So it's safe to say all three, Alabama, Florida, and South Carolina, are going to be going to a bowl game. So I'm just kind of eager to see how the coaches handle this. And we've talked about guys like Emory Jones. Is he going to, you know, I would roll him out for at least a half of this game. Alabama, Mac Jones, let him potentially have a half, maybe the entire game. So just little things like that. I really want to see how these coaches utilize the new redshirt rule. I want to see if there's players that have just not seen the field at all, if they let them have a, you might as well just throw them out there and just see what they got. You don't burn their redshirt. I think that's kind of the smart play, but I'll just be really curious to see if that's what the coaches do.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here, man.
All right, Shane, so let's get into these. And, man, if those FCS games – oh, wait. Before we jump into the FCS games, Shane, we did have a – this is a classic, one of the new classic clips here from Nick Saban. He's pretty fired up. He was asking about – he was obviously asked about this Citadel game, and this is just something he kind of went off on during his Monday presser. So he kind of did the same thing during his midweek presser. So we got to include these clips. I mean – he's taking the Citadel pretty damn seriously, Shane.
I haven't heard anything in terms of what I'm being challenged on, but I'm sure that I am. But I would really rather not know, because, you know, everybody's got the right to their opinion about whatever it is they think should or shouldn't be done. And, you know, I kind of have my opinion based on the experience through the years, and we have an opinion as a staff as to what's better, what's best to build our team and improve our team. Just like when I got asked on Monday, like, we should not play Tua in this game. Well, if we didn't play Tua in this game, we'd be sending the message to every good player that we have that they shouldn't play in the game. So eventually, why should we even play? I'll just forfeit so nobody gets hurt, take a loss, just be done with it. Or is it an opportunity for everybody to improve and grow and, you know, challenge themselves to get better so that we go out and execute and play better as a team and build a little momentum through the week and the game, all right, so maybe we play better in the next game. So that's what I believe. And, you know, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. They have every right to work like I've worked for 40-some years as a coach and get a job and have their own team. And they can make any decision that they want. I tell the assistants that all the time. You want to do it that way? Get you a head job, and you can do it that way. All right, but right now, this is the way we're going to do it. So if I tell them that, so is it the fans questioning or you? That would be my question. I don't know of any outside noise. I don't have internet. I don't have Twitter. I don't read the paper. So I don't know. You have to be more specific. So is there something specific? I mean, I should ask you for that to start with, but I really don't care, to be honest with you.
All right, Shane. So not only is old Saban going off on people questioning, you know, the Emperor Saban's authority here. He's calling out coaches. He's calling out fans and media. He even called out the damn internet. Old man Saban don't have the internet. You buying this bullshit, Shane?
Oh, man, if he does, you think it's dial-up? I mean, I'd love to see Saban just struggle with a computer and just so he could struggle at something, because they're not going to struggle any this week, the Citadel Bulldogs. And that's what the thing is. You know, Coach Saban runs that ship. Guess who's the one that scheduled this damn game? Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to have to answer questions about playing them. So everybody wants to know how much playing time. I mean, that's Why can't they ask that question? Do you expect Citadel to really give them a ball game? I don't, you know. It's a cool stadium. I like Charleston, South Carolina. But other than that, this team has nothing going for them, and it's not going to be a ball game at all. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess he's been expecting it, just like these quarterback questions to start the season. And I think he just gets so built up with rage, and he's just ready to pounce on any reporter that asks him that question.
Well, Shane, I do want to give Citadel a little bit of credit here, because I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, after Alabama beat the hell out of Mississippi State 24-0 last, I think it was Saturday night or Sunday morning, you know, they posted an image, said something like, "Who's next?" And old the Citadel's official account said, "We're next." And it was a guy flexing. So and then to follow that up on Thursday, they did post a video, said beat Bama, and it was kind of like a uniform reveal. So they're manning up, man. They're netting up or shutting up here, and obviously Citadel's going to get rolled, but they're having a good time doing it. It sounds like they're going to really enjoy this paycheck game.
Yeah, for sure. They're getting paid well, and I hope that they do keep it close. I think it'd be really interesting, you know, just – I mean, obviously they're overlooking this team, and I don't think Alabama's going to lose it at all, but if it were close at half, that'd be a win in my book.
Yeah, and I think Alabama, Shane, last note on this, they currently have tied the longest home winning streak. I believe it's 24 games in program history. How insane would that be if damn Citadel went in there and snapped the streak?
It's not going to happen. But let me ask you this. Talk about fan support. Mm-hmm. How many people you think actually shows up to this game?
Oh, I think it'll be a sellout, but I think they'll 60% will leave at halftime.
60%. Okay, so you think it'll be full to start the game, but then 60%. I think maybe it'll be a sellout, but them seats will never be full. I think they'll be less than 60% the entire game.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, Shane, we teased it enough. Let's get into these awesome, great games.
Let's do it.
And we're going to go, hell, let's do it by the largest spread, just for the hell of it.
Okay.
And we're going to start, Shane, with the mighty Rice Owls at LSU. I've got this as a 42-point spread. Who do you like in this one, Shane?
Oh, LSU barely. I think they come out, establish the run game, and pull away from this thing. I've got LSU winning this game 49, the Rice Owls 17.
Ooh.
So I don't think they cover the spread. Is that right?
That's correct, Shane. You've got Rice covering, and so do I. And, you know, here's the thing. I don't even know if damn LSU can score 42 points. I mean, they just, you know, I'm sure if they're motivated to beat the hell out of Rice, they could. Mm-hmm. And I actually, so here's my score. I got LSU 45, Rice 7. But like I said, I don't even know if LSU will score that many. So I'm going with Rice for a little backdoor cover there action as well. Just, I don't know, Rice is pretty shitty from what I understand, but just how motivated is LSU? I think they're just going to ground and pound and, you know, get the clock going. And I think Rice, from what I think they run the triple option style offense. So this is going to be a damn quick game. And unless LSU scores 60 or 50 points, I like Rice to cover here.
Yeah.
All right, Shane, another barn burner here in Athens, SEC Nation, in for UMass at Georgia. Georgia's a 41.5-point favorite. How many you got the Bulldogs winning this one by?
I've got them winning by 52. Mm. I've got the score 52-0.
Oh, man.
I think Kirby and the boys get a big shutout and cover the spread on this one.
Okay. I'm actually going to go the other way, Shane. Just, I don't know, just this late in the season, 41.5 points. That's just so many damn points. And you just never know how a team like Georgia is going to be motivated for a contest like this. Are they going to be, I don't want to say looking ahead, because they are playing Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's not that good this year. But, you know, we talked about it with those kind of, with Florida and Alabama and South Carolina. Georgia, kind of the same deal. you know, are they going to play a lot of true freshmen? I would think this is a game Justin Fields basically plays at. I would at least give him a half. And that's not to say that he can't put up huge numbers against UMass. I expect he will, but I don't know. Just 41.5 is just so many. So I'm going to go Georgia 48, UMass 7. So I got UMass covering by half a point there.
Okay.
All right, Shane.
Man, these games suck, don't they? Oh, man. I hope you're going to a wedding early. Go ahead and get it out of the way.
Well, how about this one, Shane? Liberty, which I did not realize was an FBS team, at Auburn. That's a 28-point spread. How many do you like Auburn in this one?
Oh, who says Auburn's going to win this thing, Mike? Ooh. just kidding. They will, but I don't think Auburn covers the spread. I think they're looking a little past Liberty Flames. Mm-hmm. So I've got the Auburn Tigers winning by a score of 31, Liberty 17.
Ooh, damn, Shane. Not only are these games boring, our picks are boring because we're basically the damn picking the same damn shit here, but hey, I think this is going to be the damn shock of Saturday. I'm not picking Liberty to win, but I would just do not be surprised if somehow they find a way. I think Auburn, I was actually really impressed by the effort Auburn gave in that Georgia game, mm-hmm. and they still lost by damn 17 points. It's basically they could only play with Georgia for about a quarter and a half, and this the dam broke. The offense couldn't do shit after the first quarter. Their defense, you know, fell apart once again. They got Alabama coming up. This is, you know, a senior night. You got the AD, the president, and the coach all talking about how Gus is going to be back.
Yeah.
I think this is set up really poorly for Auburn. I do have Auburn winning 24, Liberty 14. But, hell, Shane, give Liberty a fluke here or a turnover there. And I'm just saying it. Do not be shocked if Liberty wins this game and the bottom falls out here in Auburn. I think that's a realistic possibility.
Absolutely. And you talk about the ultimate trap game. I mean, coming off that Georgia loss, you know, really deflating. I mean, you say what you want. Got Gus over there saying they better not fire me for this. And coming off that, you could have put some of these games that they won earlier in the season, like Southern Miss, or even Arkansas, if you would have switched them with Liberty, you talk about an ultimate trap game. Got Alabama the next week. So I think you're right. I think this is going to probably be the ugliest football game you watch Saturday. And I don't think that they cover the spread. So I don't know. I think maybe they pull out there at the end, but it just sounds like an ugly game, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just don't know how motivated Auburn's going to be, you know.
Yeah. Now is this senior for them? Yeah, this is theirs. So yeah. they do have that going for them. At least, you know, the seniors, maybe that will create a little spark, and who knows, they may take away from it. I hate betting on senior games because you just don't know what team's going to show up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Shane, how about this one? This is a conference game. But the damn spread's 20.5. Arkansas at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's favored by 20.5 points. Who do you like in this one?
Actually, I think this is going to be close, Mike. Mm. Just call me crazy. But I've got Arkansas almost winning this thing. I've got them 21, and I got Mississippi State 24.
Ooh. Damn, a 3-point game here, huh?
Yeah, I do. I just think, and this is my $100, by the way. This is the one I put the $100 on. I just think Mississippi State may be looking past Arkansas, you know, and if Coach can stop focusing on recruiting one damn Saturday and put a good damn team, you know, go out with a firing blaze. So I think that this is going to be a sneaky good game. Out of all the games Saturday, this is probably one of the ones I'm looking forward to most.
Well,
that sucks.
Well, Shane, I think once again we're kind of on the same wavelength here. I don't think Mississippi State is going to score quite as many as you, and I definitely don't think Arkansas will, because Mississippi State, I got a lot of respect for their defense. But I do think Arkansas covers that 20.5. That's just a lot of points. Mississippi State, though, is a very good team at home. But their offense still struggles. I mean, they've not scored 30 points in a damn SEC game all year. So I don't know if they're going to get it done here. So I got Mississippi State 27, Arkansas 10. And this will be an interesting one, Shane, because Mississippi State's got to turn around and play on Thursday, so they're not going to even have a full week here. I don't necessarily think that has anything to do with this game, but I think the coaching staff may want to, if they do jump out to, say, a 24 or 21-point lead, maybe they pull back some of their guys because they know, we cannot, like a Nick Fitzgerald, we cannot run him 30 times in this damn game because we need him, a couple days from now. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. But kind of like you, I'd feel pretty confident in Arkansas. And, as bad as they looked at times against LSU, I give them a ton of credit. They have, in my mind, they have not given up on the season. They've not quit on Chad Morris, even though they have plenty of reason to do so. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're very talented either, but it still seems to me like they're trying really hard. They came back a little bit there against LSU, and I could see some of that same stuff happening here against MSU.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Shane, so here's another barn burner, but this potentially could be a good game. UAB, 9-1 on the season, traveling to Texas A&M, but the Aggies they're a huge favorite here. They're a 17-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Yeah, man. You talk about what if UAB – let me ask you this, Mike. If UAB was playing Auburn this Saturday, do you think UAB could win that game?
Absolutely, yeah. I think they would win it.
Yeah, I think that would be – golly, could you imagine? UAB sitting there at 9-1, and they don't have a cupcake schedule. I mean, some of these teams that they've completely smoked – are teams that gave SEC teams challenges. Mm-hmm. So I've got this actually a pretty close game. But I've got Texas A&M winning. I've got Texas A&M 27, the UAB Blazers 21. I didn't do a lot of research, but these Dragons are going to get 21 points, man.
All right, Shane, finally, we differ on a game. I'm going with A&M, and I'm going with them big. And
Here we go, Homer.
Well, hear me out, Shane, because I think a lot of, we talk about how difficult it is to gauge how a lot of these SEC teams will be prepared for these teams like a Citadel and Idaho and UMass and on and on. And I think that's obviously what Texas A&M thought they would probably be getting here from UAB. But instead, they're getting a team that's already clinched their division in the Conference USA. They're coming in. This is going to be damn UAB's Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they – let's say UAB wins the entire conference, I think this game is more important than their damn conference championship because, I mean, maybe not to them. I don't know. It'll resonate more if UAB walks into College Station and beats Jimbo Fisher, in my mind. So taking all that into consideration, I don't see that there's any way A&M overlooks this team. And at the same time, A&M is not ranked. UAB is ranked in the coaches poll. I mean, you got everything in the world telling Texas A&M, you have to take this team seriously. And I'm sure if they study the film, Jimbo's been hyping up this defense all week. And what has Jimbo got? He's an offensive guy. So I think he's really going to have his guys tuned in to let them know you got to take this team seriously. They've been kicking ass all year, like you've been saying. But if we play the way I know we can, we'll beat the hell out of this team. And we're the ones that deserve to be ranked, and we're going to go out there and show it. So I got Texas A&M winning 30-7. I think they're going to kill this UAB team.
You may be right. This UAB game, it kind of reminds me of the UCF-Auburn game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won their conference, but I really think that Auburn game was like their Super Bowl. Right. And they've been living off of it for a year and a half now, it feels like. So, I think you're right. UAB is going to be coming in there to play. And I'm just curious why they call them the Blazers. They got a picture of a dragon. Why don't they go by the Dragons? Seems like that'd be cooler than Blazers, but
I don't know. maybe that should have been the history lesson this week.
Yeah, maybe I should. The freaking Dragons. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. This could be a good game. I'm looking forward to it. What time does this one come on?
This is, I think this is at 4 o'clock.
Okay, all right. I can't watch you then. I'll be busy watching Tennessee, but I don't have 10 TVs set up, Mike. I'm a one TV kind of guy.
All right, we got another barn burner here, Shane. Middle Tennessee State at Kentucky. Kentucky's a 16-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Oh, Mike, here's the deal. I don't know what Kentucky team's going to show up. Mm-hmm. I went back and forth on this one, and, God, I hate to do it, but I almost want to pick this upset just because if Kentucky comes out like they did last week against Tennessee, they're going to get beat by everybody. I mean it. They just it was such a sluggish game. There was no motivation on that sideline. So that being said, I have actually predicted an upset. And I don't want my UK fans to get upset because my picks are 98% wrong. So that means you'll probably win. But I've got the Blue Raiders winning this game 21, Kentucky 17.
Mm. Well, Shane, once again, we're kind of similar here. I'm not as bold as you. I got Kentucky winning this one, but I don't know. You got Benny Snell calling out his teammates when I mean, it's not to say that he didn't show up, but the last couple of weeks, he's not been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be one thing if he was still kicking ass and his teammates weren't helping, but I don't know how they're going to respond to Benny Snell calling him out when he's not doing shit either. Mark Stoops called out his team's effort. Now, is that going to be a wake-up call? I think there are enough seniors and juniors and just, you know, a lot of veteran players on this team that I don't think they're going to let it go in the tank quite like you. I don't think it'll be as bad, but they're just struggling so much here on offense. So I don't got a lot of faith in them to score, even on Middle Tennessee, to go crazy. I'm going to go Kentucky 21, MTSU 16. So a small margin of victory here and just kind of limping into that Louisville game where that I think they'll be back up for that one because I think there's still players on this team that got destroyed there by Louisville a couple years ago. So I know they're going to, and they know how much that game means to the state. So This is just like one where they just got to like get over it and then get back to business the following week.
I think you're right. And again, we talked about this a little bit, but this will be their seniors game. Mm-hmm. Kentucky has a lot of seniors on this team. So don't be surprised. Like I said, if I'm totally wrong and they come out and just slam the Blue Raiders, but I don't know. It's just what I've seen, that team last week was not the Kentucky I saw just 2 weeks ago. So is the win back in the sails? We're going to find out. We're going to find out, what, noon on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And MTSU is a 7-3 team, Shane. And two of their losses come at Vanderbilt and at Georgia. So, I mean, they've played SEC competition, and they got smoked both times, but I mean, they're beating Lane Kiffin's team. They're beating Western Kentucky. I mean, they're beating some decent squads here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Shane. So now let's get to a game that's actually maybe competitive here. Ole Miss at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a 3.5-point favorite. Who do you like in this one?
Well, first off, I'd like to apologize to the listeners. I came out yesterday and I told you I was going to make a little history lesson on the Ole Miss Vandy game. And there's just not a lot of stuff on this one. I mean, this is Vanderbilt's second oldest rivalry. The more interesting news I found out on the Ole Miss, I want to save because next week I want to do the Egg Bowl because I have no idea why they call it that. So I want to do some more research on that. And everything I found interesting about Ole Miss really had nothing to do with the Vandy game. So, again, I apologize. But next week I will make it up. It'll be an extra long one. And we're going to talk about the Ole Miss-Mississippi State game. But right now we're talking about Ole Miss at Vandy. Mm-hmm. And I like Vandy in this one. What's the spread on this one?
Vandy by 3.5.
Okay, I've got Vandy winning, and winning barely, though. I've got them winning 31, Ole Miss 28. So right there at the 3 points.
Hmm. So you like Vandy to win, but Ole Miss to cover, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Shane, well, once a damn again. we're right there. I do think Vanderbilt will win this game. I like the way Vanderbilt's been playing. And, you know, what's kind of interesting about the Commodores, their defense, I don't want to say it's terrible. It's not terrible, but just very inconsistent, not really getting the job done on that side of the ball, while the offense is. I mean, Kyle Shurmur's been playing well. Keyshawn Vaughn, he's killing it. They actually have two running backs there that can produce. And Vanderbilt's just having a lot of issues closing out games. And when we see Ole Miss going up against SEC competition, they're just not really getting it done for the most part. So I'm right there with you, Shane. I like Vanderbilt winning at home. You know, they're keeping their bowl hopes alive. Ole Miss doesn't have that to play for. I don't know if that's playing a factor or not, but I'm going to go with Vanderbilt to win, but Ole Miss to cover. I'm going Vanderbilt 33, Ole Miss 30.
Nice. You know, something else that's interesting, you know, to keep in mind, Vanderbilt is sitting there at 4-6. They got two home games left. One's against Ole Miss, one's against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. They have to win out. Well, maybe not, because I think grades come into play. So I would think Vanderbilt would be higher than any other team in the SEC. So they may get in with 5 wins. But this, it all starts, they have to win this game, Ole Miss, because that Tennessee game, they ain't going to get. But here's an interesting thing I saw today on Twitter. Actually, I think you retweeted it. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Ole Miss-Mississippi State game? Ole Miss is having trouble selling tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, so for the Egg Bowl, they're selling buy one, get one free, Shane. For
That is crazy. I mean, Ole Miss hasn't had a horrible season. They've had an exciting season, a lot of close games, and there was a few that they dropped, but it just blows my mind that there's not more fan support. I mean, I'm up here in Tunica, which is about an hour and a half from Oxford, and I see nothing but Mississippi State garb. You know, it's mm-hmm. like nobody's even recognizing the Ole Miss Land Sharks or Rebels, whatever they're calling them these days. But it's just unreal. There's just absolutely no fan support right now, and they've got a good ball club, an exciting ball club to watch. So the fact that they're having to do a buy one, get one just blew my mind.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much time we want to spend on this, but I would think that, hell, Shane, if they can't go to a damn bowl game, they're not going to host the Egg Bowl for another 2 years, obviously. If you would have told Ole Miss fans going into the damn the year, you can win all your non-conference games, and you get to beat Mississippi State at the end of the year, but those are your only wins. Mm-hmm. If I'm a diehard Ole Miss fan, I'm like, hell, I'll sign my ass up. You know what I mean? But it sounds like they're not even interested in going to the Egg Bowl, which blows my mind. But I guess that's just the current state of the program.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
All right, Shane. So like we've been kind of noting all week here and on this podcast, of course, this is a pretty shitty week of games here, so we didn't even feel it was right to do a legit hype video.
We got for Citadel.
Well, Citadel did do their own hype video for Alabama. I thought that was pretty classic. But final game here, Missouri at Tennessee. We always like to include a little bit of a hype reel, but instead of that, we did find this video. This is narrated by Tennessee senior safety Todd Kelly Jr. and just kind of what, you know, being a Tennessee man is what it means to him and how he'll carry that the rest of his days. So we're going to play this before we pick this game.
This college experience has been about finding new friends and making friendships that will last a lifetime. I think Tennessee taught me a lot. The main thing I think it taught me was tradition and to remember the ones that come before you. I know that there have been a lot of successful people on the football field as well as off the football field, whether they made it to the NFL or not, but that just represent the power T to a particular standard and that they're powered by the T each and every day. going forward, now that I'm graduated from the University of Tennessee and I've played here, I'll know that I always represent the Power T, whether I have it on my chest or not. That's what it's all about.
All right, Shane, I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, it's not only Tennessee. It's obviously, like you said, half these teams, Georgia and, you know, Kentucky, Auburn, Mississippi State, you know, go down the list, LSU, Vanderbilt, so many senior nights here. There's a lot of, you know, respect and honor and everything that needs to go towards these guys, because these are the guys that have put in majority of the work here for all these schools. So we just kind of thought it would be kind of cool to, you know, obviously we played the Tennessee one just because we thought this Missouri-Tennessee game was the best game on the docket here. But this is just kind of a unique weekend that it really is the highlight for me, is just the senior days all across the league.
Yeah, I love senior day. I think that, you know, a lot of unsung heroes play on these teams. Just like we talked about earlier, everybody's going to remember Tua's name. But are you going to remember that guy that came in and helped you out when you needed him, or, you know, your left tackle needed a breather, or, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's just those guys, those fill-in guys, those ones that you don't see, that maybe even a team leader, you know, they may not be getting a lot of playing time, but maybe they're pumping up the locker room and they're elevating the game of all those stars that you're used to seeing on Saturday. So I really enjoy it. I wish that they would. I mean, if you've never been to one of these games, you know, Tennessee, I know they make a big deal of it, bringing them out with their families and, mm-hmm. and things like that, because this is it. This is maybe the last time they ever play football. So, hell, I played football for 12 years, and I remember more about that last game than I do any game I ever played in, just because it was it. It was the last one. So just remember that when you're seeing all these boys out there, these unsung heroes, and just appreciate them, because you never know. Like I said, they may have been the reason that your team's undefeated or your team's playing for an SEC championship.
All right, Shane, that was pretty well said there, but we still got to pick this damn game. Missouri 5.5-point favorite at Tennessee. Tell me why you got Tennessee winning, you damn Tennessee homer.
Well, the word upset starts with U and ends with T, brother. And I've got Tennessee winning this thing just because, man, they are fired up. They are fired up. They just beat Kentucky, got Missouri Tigers coming in. They're one game away from locking up a bowl, something they didn't get to do last year. So I think that, you know, Pruitt's got these guys right where they want. The defense, it seems like they're just getting better and better. And that's what they're going to need. That secondary wasn't really tested last week, but what they did do was blanket that coverage. And there was a lot of coverage sacks. They're going to have their hands full with Missouri, you know, the Golden Goose and Hall back there. But I think Tennessee wins this game. And I've got the score: Tennessee 28, Missouri Tigers 17.
Well, Shane, let me tell you why you're wrong. Shutting down Kentucky and old, who now they play Charlotte. That's just a different beast here than Missouri. I mean, Charlotte, we don't even need to go into that, but Kentucky just completely one-dimensional, no threat to pass the ball. And when they were trying to pass, they were getting sacked and pressured. It just, like I said, Missouri is just completely different. And, you know, I have been kind of wrong about this Tennessee team. I did pick them to lose against Kentucky. I did not see that performance coming. But as well as they're coached right now, you know, you can only rise so high to the occasion with the talent they have and the depth and everything. And this is just a different animal. I mean, Missouri is so balanced, so good. Everyone's talking about Drew Locke, and I understand because he's, you know, he's the high-profile quarterback. But what people aren't looking at is Missouri's got Roundtree and Crockett at running back. They've got two of the best 1-2 punches in the SEC at running back. They got Emmanuel Hall back. I think I've hit on this before. They're averaging about 42 points with him in the lineup. They're averaging about 20 with him out. So they can stretch the field. They can run the ball. They have a very veteran and experienced offensive line. I mean, whatever Tennessee tries to take away, I think Missouri is going to be able to counter and just hit them. You know, this is just going to be such a much more difficult task here for Tennessee's defense, which is playing well. And then you go to the flip side. Where's Missouri's defense the strongest? They're strongest on the defensive line. And obviously, where's Tennessee weakest? The offensive line. So there's just so many factors going against Tennessee in this one. I understand why everyone's fired up after that big Kentucky win, but I think Missouri is playing significantly better football than Kentucky right now. You talk about Tennessee on a hot streak. Missouri, they beat the shit out of Florida in Gainesville. They beat a very good Vanderbilt team. I think Vanderbilt's very improved. We're both picking Vanderbilt to win. So they're just playing, and they've got a lot to play for. They got Tennessee and Arkansas. They should kill Arkansas. And that could set up a really nice bowl game. So I think all the factors point to Missouri. And I also think, I mean, I don't know how much this plays into it, but Drew Lock seems to be, you know, a big fan of Derek Dooley. It seems like a lot of these players are in for it. I think they're going to have some, you know, some respect for him and play hard for him. And I think they want Dooley to come in here and just beat Tennessee. I think that'll play an edge. And we won't see that before the game, but I think you'll see comments or some kind of something after the game to that effect.
You know, it's funny. If you ever – I'm glad you mentioned him because I was about to. You know, Gary's going to be doing this game. And unfortunately. And you know, when they play these ball clubs, when they watch these games, they maybe talk about a coordinator once or twice during the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But my over-under right now of Gary mentioning Derek Dooley is right now 7.5. Would you take the over or under on that?
I'm going to go in the first quarter over.
Especially if they're winning. I could just see Gary just leaning hard on the Derek Dooley talk. So I'm glad that Derek's doing well in Missouri. I really think that he is a good coach, and I think he got just thrown into the fire, man. I mean, he really did. And it seems like he's building his resume, you know, never had the opportunity to be an offensive coordinator Missouri took a chance, and it's really paid off. I think he's put them in some great spots. Of course, it's easy when you've got an amazing quarterback. So I'm just curious, next stop, if he's going to be here or he's going to move on. If he stays here and keeps building Missouri up, don't be surprised if Derek Dooley doesn't take one of these, you know, one of these lower Power Five conference game or teams, you know.
Louisville.
No, that one's already locked up, man. Brom's going there. Do you think would Brom even have anything to gain taking that job? I mean, Purdue's a pretty good gig. I wouldn't think that seems like a more of a lateral move to me, don't you think?
Well, I've seen a lot of people make that kind of argument, but here's the thing with Jeff Brom that maybe just people that are just casual fans don't really know about that program, but he obviously played there. All his brothers played there. His father played there. They went to high school there. I mean, they're like, the family is well known in that area. And yeah. I just think it's set up so perfectly for him. His father and his agent, they still live there. You know, they got family ties. I think that they also have very close ties to all the high schools around that area. So, I mean, I think they would just clean up in recruiting in that state. I think, you know, unfortunately for Kentucky, I think that would be Kentucky's worst nightmare to go from Bobby Petrino, who is a scumbag, to Brom, who just, you know, is well received there and is like the favorite son.
Right.
So I understand why people look at Purdue and Louisville and they're like, well, what the hell is the difference? But I don't think it's always, you know, this program versus this program. And I don't think people weigh it like that. I think they weigh the factors, like I said, with just the connections and the ties. And I don't think Jeff Brom would ever leave Louisville if he went there and was successful, unless for maybe like an NFL job. You know what I mean? Like he's right. He's not going to jump from there to go coach Alabama, I wouldn't think, because I don't know. I just think it would be his dream college job.
Well, I will tell you, they are what they're in the ACC, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a pretty tough conference. Are they in the same division of Clemson?
They are. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Nah, I don't, I'm not taking it. I'll stay in Purdue. but you're right. I didn't realize that he had that much family ties there. It makes sense. But so maybe he does take the job. I'm just curious why he just came out and just, I mean, shot it down so quick. Or maybe he just wants to finish the season and then talk about it.
Well, he's just he's not had that exclusive interview with Jimmy Himes just yet.
Just yet.
Jimmy was busy today, so they're going to work that out, and then they'll come out with it sooner or later, I would imagine.
Oh, good stuff, man.
All right, Shane, I think that's going to do it for us on this one. You got anything before we hop off here?
No, I appreciate y'all hanging out with us today. And like I said, this is a tough week. So if you're listening now, you are a true fan. So I appreciate you. You made it to this point. We appreciate all the listeners. And as we wind down this season, I appreciate everybody taking the time to rate and review us on iTunes. We had another one, a ghost review. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are, and I appreciate you. And that's all I got, man. We're still going to fire up Reddit Saturday and talk about these great games, and hope to see you on there. You can always find us. It's at That SEC Podcast.
All right, Shane, thanks for joining me as always. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols! Upset!